It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5
The Tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. They were accused of beating a Memphis man to death. They pled not guilty to state charges back in February, but now they've been charged with federal crimes.
Five former Memphis police officers are facing federal civil rights charges in the January beating death of Tyree Nichols during a traffic stop near his home. The avid skateboarder and photographer has been described by friends and family as joyful and spiritual. Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark.
I extend my deepest condolences to Tyree's family and to all of those who knew him and loved him. It is tragic to see a life cut short at 29 with so many milestones unmet.
The men face life in prison if convicted. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Alabama has taken its bid to keep its latest congressional map in place to the U.S. Supreme Court as it fights in order to draw a second district where black voters constitute a majority or close to one. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
We haven't really seen something like this since back in the 60s when the South did not want to comply with other decisions of the Supreme Court. And this is very much along the same line.
Alabama Republicans drew the map in question even with an earlier Supreme Court loss. The CDC recommends an updated COVID vaccine for anybody 6 months or older, especially older people, pregnant women, and people with compromised immune systems. CBS's Alexander Tin.
The so-called universal recommendations come after a panel of the agency's outside advisors were presented with data showing even healthy young Americans with no underlying conditions are still being hospitalized from COVID.
The new vaccine is already shipped. Some pharmacies will have it tomorrow. Much of eastern Libya is underwater. Officials say at least 1,000 people are known dead. Many thousands more are unaccounted for. Getting relief supplies there has been difficult, to say the least, but the World Food Program's Brian Lander says his organization and others keep trying.
People have lost homes. They've lost all their belongings, so shelter will be an urgent need. Food, of course.
Relief agencies face the same challenges in Morocco, where nearly 3,000 people have died and thousands more are homeless after Friday's earthquake. New research on wildfires shows the devastation goes far beyond land and lost property. CBS's Christian Benavides.
Researchers found as pollution from wildfire smoke increases, so does the risk of suicide by rural white men and rural adults with no college education, because they're more likely to work outdoors. Scientists also found smoke pollution increases have no impact on suicide rates among those who live in cities.
This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
93.5, The Tap.
Unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates.
Indicative.
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada yada yada.
Hello, Wisconsin, and hello, Jane Matinair.
Hello, my friend.
I was so looking forward to seeing you in person today and giving you a big hug because I've missed you so much.
Oh, thank you. I missed you.
And then lo and behold, last night you shot me a text saying, well, we're ripping up the studio, so you probably should do the show from home. So I have not gotten to embrace. You look very tan, though. I can see you on the live stream, and you look like you got some color.
We did. We got some sun. It was not terribly warm, which made me happy, actually.
Okay.
It wasn't 90. You know, it was like mid-70s and partly cloudy, but in that kind of climate, you still, you know, we did a lot of walking. We were outside all the time. So I wore 50 SPF, just in case anybody's wondering. So don't yell at me.
Do you have a big floppy hat that you wear as well?
I did not take a big floppy hat. I could have bought many of them.
Many. Well, I have to say, I'm so happy that you had a vacation. You were missed terribly. Greg did a great job.
That's what I've heard. I knew he would.
But that doesn't mean that I didn't miss you a lot. And there was like, it was so funny because there's certain topics that I feel like I had to save until you got back, including. Did you know, because I know how big of a fan you are of The Bachelor, The Golden Bachelor is starting, and they did indeed, the lowest age of any of the women is 60.
Oh, yeah.
So it's higher than you thought it was going to be. You said it was going to be like 45-year-old. I was like, I'm going to wait until she's back to broach this topic.
Okay, I still think that they are not going to grab their average 60-year-old woman. I mean, you've
he's not the average 70-year-old man. Have you seen him?
Yes, and that's the whole point. It's they're still going to be the most beautiful of the 60-year-old people.
It's television,
and I know.
But speaking of which, can I tease you a little bit?
Sure.
So I listened. I obviously was gone yesterday. Thank you, Joe Zepecki, for covering. But I got to listen to the whole show. He did a great job.
Yeah,
you did a great job, and I. You guys also started catching up with you and your trip. And while you were out, one of the things Greg and I joked about was how much this trip might reinvent you and you may come back not cynical. And so the fact that you were like, you gave about 2 seconds to how good the trip was, and then you just immediately started complaining about the airplane. I was like, nope, she's still the same person.
Pretty much. That's really funny. Although I will say, Kristen, that the airplane stuff aside, every time I travel, I feel better about humans. Which
interesting. Say more about that.
Yeah, which you wouldn't think would necessarily happen, but every time we travel, I am just reminded of how much we are similar. Mm. We want the same things. We want a place to live. We like good food. We like to laugh. We like, and so that always makes me feel better. because even with some of the staff that worked at our resort, and I told Louisa the night before we left, and I got all emotional, and I said, we would be friends. I know we would be friends. Because it's just those kinds of connections, and I think that's what is so important about traveling.
I totally agree.
You know?
I think, well, it's also the little things that we talk about of the importance of not replacing every checkout with a computer because of the small talk you can make with your community and your neighbors when you're picking up groceries or all the little things of when you actually put yourself out there to have in-person conversations. And certainly it's underlined when you're traveling because it's like you're in a new place. You're experiencing new things. It's a different culture and yet it's all the same.
Yeah.
And so I totally agree with you on that. And so happy that you're happy to be home.
I am. It's always good to be home and sleep in your own bed. And I'm very particular about my pillow. So it's always easier to sleep in your own bed.
All right. Well, I can't wait to embrace you. Hopefully the studio will be on tomorrow. So I'll be back in studio tomorrow. But we have a very fun, packed show today. It's Tuesday, so Dan Schaefer is going to be here at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour. He'll be here at 10:30, and we're going to talk impeachment because I feel like we're going to talk about this every single day because it's that important. But also, any updates on Megan Wolf and whether or not... I feel like these are two similar stories as the complexity of, can they do that? Because it seems like they can't, and yet...
And yet they do. Yeah.
So we'll talk to Dan at 10:30. And then in the next hour, this weekend, the Willie Street Fair is this weekend.
That's a big deal. It's a really big deal.
It's Madison's longest running neighborhood gathering. And so Colleen Hayes is going to be here to talk about that. We're also going to be talking to Sandy Peters, who is a Waukesha woman who is organizing a walk run for this weekend that is going to be raising funds for Dig Deep, which is about providing water and like filling the water gap to places where they don't have access to clean, drinkable water, which we take for granted.
And this is in America.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is happening in America. People don't have access to clean, drinkable water.
Well, and I think it's such a poignant timing that they're doing this fundraiser in this walk and this fundraiser in Waukesha this weekend, because I think it's within the last 5 days, the Waukesha pipeline turned on. And about 2 weeks ago, end of August, last week of August, we had Dan Dukniak on, who we talked about this project and how long it's been running and stuff. And the truth of the matter is, the city of Waukesha residents, the cost of their water is going to go up. But he kind of ended it. It was like the access, being able to afford and have access to clean water, and how many millions of people don't even have that. And so I feel like it's maybe a good reminder for the community that there's a lot of people who don't
for sure
have enough water as we let our shower run until it heats up and all of the things that we take for granted when it comes to clean drinkable water. But where I want to start is the wild. Do you feel guilty? This is my question. Do you feel guilty about what happened to Aaron Rodgers last night? And I'm not laughing. I'm laughing out of it's so uncomfortable because I think we talked about it a month or so ago. We're like, should we stop talking about Aaron Rodgers? And people called in about their feelings about him. And I think most Packers fans have very mixed feelings about Aaron Rodgers and him leaving the Packers in the way that he did, him joining the Jets, him taking a pay cut, the Hard Knocks thing, even his interview with John McEnroe that kicked off the game last night. You know, he kind of referenced being a massive fish in a tiny little goldfish bowl in as the difference of living in Green Bay. And he sounded, you know, because he's the best I've ever been.
We're losing you a little bit there. You're a little sticky.
Better now?
Better now.
And so even up until literally the moment of his first snap, there was feelings of like, oh God, you're still sounding so arrogant. And so people have feelings. And yet I don't think anyone had the feeling of, oh, I hope you get potentially a career ending, if not a season ending, if not a career ending injury on your fourth snap of the season. So my question is, are you feeling any Catholic guilt this morning about Aaron Rodgers? 844-967-2789, because I certainly woke up to one text from one specific person, I think, feeling a little guilty about that, because they had hoped that he didn't have a bad season, that he wouldn't have a good season, but maybe that, but not this. So
I would like to think that most people, even if they don't like Aaron Rodgers and how bad the breakup was, that, as you said, nobody would wish a career-ending injury on him.
No, and I don't think they would, but it's I don't know if the word is irony. I don't know. Like, it's to have so much hype. Like, I don't know. This feels unprecedented as far as, you know, having the Hard Knocks season start with, be focused on the Jets. There's so much hype around Aaron Rodgers being Super Bowl contenders, everything that was going to happen with him and the Jets this year, just the Jets in general putting so, like, they're all of their eggs in this basket for Aaron Rodgers. And for him to literally have one attempt and basically, it was one attempt. It was four snaps, one throw, and he goes down. And it's like, you can't, that's a movie. That's like, if you wrote that in a movie, they said that's two on the nose. You can't do that.
Yeah. That would never happen in life. Right.
And so my question is, do you feel guilty about Aaron Rodgers? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. On the Facebook live stream, which you are always welcome to join and watch us along with listen to us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, which you can find at As Goes Wisconsin. Joe McClear says, none of the vaccinated quarterbacks tore their Achilles this past weekend. Checkmate, anti-vaxxers.
Ooh, Joe, bringing it. And I know
Joe's not even a Packers fan. He's a Lions fan. So he's saying that with an extra oomph. gosh. But I certainly feel bad. I didn't want him to win the Super Bowl. I was with my family over the weekend and my brother actually was like, I hope they win the Super Bowl. I was like, that's a weird thing to say. And his reasoning was, I think it's kind of the fact that the Jets have always been bad and maybe they've earned this one and he's earned this one.
Well, from what I've read, the Jets defensive line was always in question and
offensive line. Terrible.
And that's what made this sack possible.
Well, it's that, but then we'll also, good Aaron Rodgers' very good friend, Bakhtiari, tweeted last night. So we'll read that tweet when we get back on what he has to blame for this, because he's blaming the NFL. So we will talk about that. We'll take your calls if you're feeling guilty about Aaron Rodgers this morning. And we'll also give you an update on Jack's American Pub and how that turned out for the bar. 844-967-2789. We'll be back after the break.
Two times the healthy blood pressure support? That's a number to rave about. Thanks to Superbeats Heart Chew's unique 2X ingredient that helps promote normal blood pressure nearly two times more effectively than diet and exercise alone. Superbeats is America's number one selling beet brand and the only number one cardiologist, doctor, and pharmacist recommended beet brand for heart health support. A clinical study showed that the key ingredient in Superbeats Heart Chews is nearly two times more effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. And they're part of a brand with over 60,000 five-star ratings and reviews. So double your potential with a special offer exclusively for radio listeners. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Heart Chews and 15% off your first order at GetSuperbeats.com with code RADIO. That's a free 30-day supply and 15% off for radio listeners only at GetSuperBeets.com. Code radio.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price here. The overnight patchy fog and partly cloudy skies. 43 degrees early Wednesday morning with light northeast winds. After the fog and the cloud cover, we'll see sunshine, 66. Thursday, patchy fog, then sunny, and up to 78. It's 53 at our studios.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Gene and Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Gene?
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for keeping us all informed. I mean, this is outrageous. It's pathetic. It's sick. And, you know, where are the people that are supposed to be protecting the rights of the people in our state? I mean, this is ludicrous. These people should be all locked up. They're abusing power, wasting taxpayer dollars, wasting taxpayer time. I mean, they're a bunch of criminals. And I call them, chew them out as an old woman, chew them out so I don't scare them like I'm going to come and get them or something. But God darn it, this is outrageous, Matt. And I don't know who can protect us or who can represent us, but I hope there's somebody out there that can, because this is just criminal beyond the pale. They cheat when they lose, and when they lose, they cheat, and they abuse their power, and they think that they're just, I mean, and they're... they're not held accountable. I don't get it, Matt. Anyway, sorry, but right. Thank you so much. This is just outrageous. I'm fuming, Matt. I'm fuming. Thank you. Keep up the great work informing everybody. Right. Thanks
a lot, Gene. Yeah, I mean, let's just put this in the perspective. They have the appearance of law in Russia. There'll be a, quote, trial, end quote, for Brittany Griner, Paul Whelan. Then there'll be a, quote, appeal. It's all fake. Well, American law, U.S. law, Wisconsin law is not a fake, and it shouldn't be a fake. Wisconsin has an unusual impeachment statute. It says the legislature can impeach, the Senate by 2/3 can convict, if it can convict. And at the minute the individual is impeached, they have to step down. That's what it says. That's not true in federal impeachment law. When Trump was impeached twice, he didn't step down. He wouldn't have had to step down until he had been convicted in the Senate. That's the way it normally works. So why does the Wisconsin statute demand the step down? Because it's such a restrictive impeachment right that it almost can't be exercised unless somebody's caught red-handed committing a crime or doing something corrupt in office. And it also contemplates that you have an honest Senate who would then immediately take it up to see if it was sufficient to convict. Here, they're playing Putin law. They're taking a severely restrictive, very restrictive impeachment right, which is limited to two things: commission of a crime or corruption in office, not corruption before office or out of office, corruption in office. And the sanction is hard. You have to step down. But what happens if you have a dishonest legislature doing this? What happens if you have a corrupt legislature doing this, trying to take out a non-corrupt, honest justice who is trying to put an end to corruption? That's what's happening right now. The way to do it is they are both heavyweights, and the governor's the third heavyweight. They're all in the ring together. One doesn't just walk up to the other and hit him in the face. That's not in the law. They are all supposed to work together. But when one of them does do it, the legislature, they are not superior to the Supreme Court. They are not superior to the Supreme Court. And when that happens, the Supreme Court is in its rights to go back and say, you have a very restricted impeachment right, very rare, not at all like the federal one. And it limits you to two things. You have 10 days to send us a brief, and unfortunately, they'll use taxpayer money again and pay high-priced Republican lawyers, but they're going to do, you know, they've been doing this with Gableman and everything else. You have 10 days to set out in a brief the crime that Janet Protasiewicz has committed. And by the way, you go on CCAP, there's no crime. Number two, you have 10 days in that brief to show what corruption in office was committed by Janet Protasiewicz. There is none. She's done nothing, good or bad, in office. She's read the briefs. That's good. She's done her job. The best they could say, if they say we're not going to tell you, that is an illegality in and of itself. They've disobeyed the court's order. They have to obey the court's order. They're heavyweights, equal heavyweights. They got to obey the court's order. And then Janet just says, well, we're staying on the bench. But they're going to come through and say she should recuse herself because of comments she made in her campaign. We'll take a look at it. What she said during the campaign was that she believed the maps are rigged, but she will give it a fair hearing. They can put their briefs in and all that, but it's certainly on the surface. That's what it looks like to her. It's also what it looks like to me and everybody in the state. Also, they will say, there's a 2017 Supreme Court opinion that says she's the only one to decide if she should recuse herself. Gableman didn't recuse himself. Rebecca Grassl Bradley, who has also said the maps look great to her, isn't recusing herself. Janet Protasiewicz can decide. But then if they say, well, that is corruption in office, well, number one, it wasn't when she was in office. And number two, it's not corruption, because the Wisconsin Judicial Commission just cleared her. Remember the other day? The Wisconsin Judicial Commission just cleared her after the Republicans brought a complaint. If then they go ahead and say, well, no, we're going to impeach her anyway, an injunction must be issued against the legislature, stopping them from doing that, and including the clerk. And a declaratory judgment must be issued stating that Janet Protasiewicz may not be impeached on the grounds that they have set out because it's unconstitutional. If they disobey her, the clerk, who will be enjoined from publishing it, should be held in contempt. Voss should be held in contempt. And the leadership in the Republican Party should be held in contempt. That's what's got to happen. Let's just get down to this and ducks and bunnies. Enough of this stuff. Well, oh, well, you know. People have got to look at the reason behind this Wisconsin statute, its limited availability, and what the remedy is to stop an illegal, corrupt legislature, a gerrymandered legislature, from trying to perpetuate itself in office. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Some former police officers now face serious charges in the beating death of a black man. Assistant U.S. Attorney General Kristen Clark.
The Justice Department has brought federal civil rights criminal charges against five former Memphis Police Department detectives involved in the tragic death of Tyree Nichols.
An updated COVID shot should be available this week, says CBS's Alexander Tin.
Virtually all Americans ages 6 months and older are now recommended to get a shot of the new COVID vaccines, which have been redesigned with a new recipe aimed at targeting newer variants of the virus.
A nonprofit group is now preparing to send food to Libya, where 10,000 people are missing in flooding. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
The numbers are staggering.
The scale of it is unclear, but we know it's big.
Brian Lander of the World Food Program, the logistics of getting to the remote areas are proving very difficult.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Joe.
Terrific analysis, and I really, really appreciate it, Matt. I had some questions, three in total, as I go through the outline that you have stated how this might work. So basically, the legislature says we're going to impeach Senate Pro Tasiewicz, okay? So is it true then that they have you? Can they just vote right away? We're gonna do this. You were speaking of the fact that they need to set out in a brief, and there is 10 days attached to this. Where does that brief go? Is it presented to the whole of the assembly, or does it go to the Supreme Court? I was confused about that. So that was one question I had. The second was you come into the situation of saying that there are two points that she could be impeached upon with Wisconsin state law, constitutional law, and it says either a crime, and as you said, you could look at CCAP, there's no evidence of a crime. How about in the situation of corruption, though? Does she have to be convicted of corruption, or can it just be Voss's allegation that she is corrupt, or the legislature's assembly's allegation that she is corrupt? What is the evidence of corruption that would be need to be, how is it delivered, I guess, to the Assembly? And then the next question I would have is, how does this go? Does the Assembly just say, we're voting on an impeachment, and we've just passed out what the charges are to the whole of the Assembly, and we're voting up or down right now? Can they do that, or is there time delays, or what are the procedures that have to go through? And I guess the reason why, many reasons why that's important, but one reason why that's important is then how does that go? Because I would imagine that whatever lawsuits that are maybe filed against this would need to be addressing exactly what is in their documents or what in their charges and how it's presented. And so where are the timelines and how does that go? Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? Can they just start tomorrow and say we're impeaching her, period, and we aren't even sending out any information? It's in a piece of paper and that's enough. Can you expand a little bit on that, Matt? And I really, really appreciate your detail and your thoughts on how this might go and how people may challenge this. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Sure. No, excellent, excellent questions. I'll hit them all in order. And the first question was this brief, who does it go to? How's it going to be prepared and who's going to decide and who's going to go to? Secondly, on the crime, you look at CCAP, there's no crime. So does it have to be a conviction, a criminal conviction? And the third one would be the timing and the procedure. In other words, can the Assembly just rush right in tomorrow and do it? Is it too late and all that? And the answer is in Wisconsin civil procedure, there is a provision for a thing called a declaratory judgment. There's a thing called a injunction, and then also a temporary restraining order or preliminary injunction. Now, the way this would work is that somebody would start a lawsuit asking for a declaratory judgment, and it would be somebody who thought that Janet Protasiewicz should not be impeached. In other words, some good government group, and who would have standing, and they would say, we're taxpayers, we're voters, and she should not be impeached. I voted for her, etc. And we would like a declaratory judgment, and we would like a temporary restraining order stopping them, preliminary injunction, and then a permanent injunction prohibiting them. Now, under the law, you have to have a case or controversy, which means you can't just do this out of the blue. But if injury is imminent, if a tort or a crime is imminent, if an unconstitutional or illegal act is imminent, and you can show that, you can ask for this relief. This is what's called equitable relief. It's not damages, it's equitable relief. It's an injunction, declaratory judgment. And here it is imminent. Every day I pick up the paper and it says they're moving forward. More and more of their leadership are saying they're going to do it. You do not have to wait for the actual impeachment. So that lawsuit should be filed right away. Now, normally it would go to a circuit court. Then it goes to the Court of Appeals, then the Supreme Court, and everybody yawns because that would take a year. You can ask in the pleading, in the complaint, for the declaratory judgment and the temporary restraint order and preliminary injunction, that the Supreme Court take original jurisdiction. In other words, it goes right to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court can do that. It doesn't do it often, obviously. It doesn't want to be clogged up with trial work. But there's nothing more suitable for original jurisdiction than people's trying to take out one of seven justices. I can't think of anything more important for original jurisdiction. They would take original jurisdiction. It would at least be a 4-3 vote. And if Hagedorn, I think, stood by his values, it would be a 5-2 vote. Then they function as the court of first resort, as well as the court of last resort. They are the trial court in that sense, even though there's not going to be a trial. They can issue any order they want. They should issue an order giving the legislature a very brief period of time, 10 days. If the legislature wants 30 days, fine. And the allegation has been made in this complaint by this good government group, hypothetically, that there are people in the legislature, perhaps a majority, who will impeach her for a corrupt purpose because she's committed no crime and she's not had any corrupt acts in office. And it's further alleged that they're in cahoots with the state Senate, which is also corrupt, and in gerrymandered, and they're going to sit on it like they did with Fred Pren, just to keep her off the court. And they can further say the injury is the abortion case, redistricting, Megan Wolf, and a lot of other things. That's why they are doing it. If the Supreme Court accepts what I'm saying, they will send an order saying a briefing schedule. Legislature, you have 30 days, 10 days, whatever, to respond to this. In the meantime, we're issuing a temporary restraining order. A temporary restraining order has all of the force of an injunction, but it's temporary. But pending your brief and pending our further decision, you are forbidden to go forward with an impeachment, and you, clerk, are forbidden because you want to get your hooks in somebody who's not elected. You are forbidden from publishing it or in any respect taking action to support it. Who are they going to appeal to? A temporary restraining order is immediately appealable in the law. But there's no higher court than the Wisconsin Supreme Court other than the U.S. Supreme Court. And they are limited in their jurisdiction to federal issues. They may not interfere with the state issue. This is a purely state issue. It's a construction of a statute giving impeachment right to our legislature. They will write a brief. This brief will come in 10 days, 30 days, whatever the author, the deadline is. And then the other side usually would have a 15-day response period. That would be the good government group. And they will say, we repeat, pursuant to the affidavit we put in with our complaint, here's our CCAP printout. She has no crime. And she has committed no corrupt acts in office. And Joe, you asked, does it have to be a conviction of corruption? No, it doesn't. And normally, politically, if you had more even legislatures, nobody is going to go after somebody for corruption in office unless they actually are very corrupt, took money, maybe were convicted or now been indicted and so on. You remember that McCarthy and these people say, well, we're not going to do anything with Trump unless he's actually, or anybody that they want to remove unless he's actually convicted. But here you have a corrupt legislature that's gerrymandered, and they're not going to wait for that. So you say, what is the corruption? And they'll say, we don't have to have a conviction. You'll say, right, you don't. What is it, though? Well, she hasn't done anything in office. Well, that's true. Well, she said some things in the campaign. Well, the Wisconsin Judicial Commission exonerated her, and number one. Number two, under the Supreme Court decision in 2017, she alone has to decide on recusal. Recusal is different from impeachment. Recusal is different from impeachment. Impeachment is very serious because under our impeachment laws, you can be throw them out right away before they're even convicted, unlike federal impeachment. But that harsh result has a very, very harsh circumscribed requirements. And those are, you can only do it for two things, not a whole ton of things. And she has done neither. Then they might give oral argument, and Janet will sit on that oral argument. All seven of them will sit on it. And some Republican lawyer being paid by your tax dollars will get up on his hind legs, and he will sniff the air, and he will say in court, blah, blah, blah. And then whoever represents the good government group will say, blah, blah, blah. The Supreme Court will ask questions. I've appeared before the Supreme, not this one, but the Wisconsin Supreme Court prior justices many times, and the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, and the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati, and federal courts and state courts around the country. They ask questions. They interrupt you. They're not even polite. They don't have to ask your permission. They cut you right off. And then, wait a minute, what about this? Then they'll issue a decision. They'll go into chambers. And the TRO, the temporary restraining order, is still in effect. She can't be impeached. They'll sit in there. Four of the seven will say this is an illegal impeachment. This is a very, very severe impeachment power to remove somebody before conviction. But its corresponding obligation is that it's only two things. Now, I know that Annette Ziegler and Rebecca Grassl Bradley will do the Republican Party's bidding. What about Brian Hagedorn? I don't know. Brian Hagedorn is a Republican. But he did the right thing in certifying Biden and standing up to Trump, and he took a lot of grief. I don't know. But it's very possible he would say, no, she can't be impeached. But even if he didn't, it's 4-3. They'd issue an opinion. They say that we grant the relief requested, the declaratory judgment. We declare that on the facts as presented by the legislature, absent a crime or corruption in office, she can't be impeached. We enter a permanent injunction that there not be proceedings of impeachment based on crime, in this particular case, there was none, or based on corruption in office. Obviously, in the future, if they come up with a different corruption in office, fine. But it's got to be actual corruption in office, not a decision they don't like. So, Joe, that's the way it would work. And I think, quite frankly, people say it's aggressive. I say, what do you mean? You don't think what Voss is doing is aggressive? What Trump's, what all these people do is aggressive? They are simply doing the appearance of law in a Putin fashion. Yeah, there's a trial in Moscow. There's an appeal in Moscow. There's an election. Oh, yeah, all this stuff. It's a fake. It's a fake. Voss is a fake. LeMahieu is a fake. This is all designed so that she will not vote on redistricting, on abortion, on Megan Wolf, and anything that threatens their power, their corrupt power. It's a fake. We don't have to put up with a fake. We do not have to put up with a fake. So the way we handle it is in our legal system, which is a complaint is filed. It's a good government group of some sort or people that are standing. And they ask for declaratory judgment, temporary restraining order, preliminary and permanent injunction, barring the legislature and its clerk from proceeding with impeachment against Janet Protasiewicz right now based on crime or based on corruption in office. And that is about as direct as I can be. That remedy exists. I've tried a number of these injunctions, TROs, preliminary injunction, declaratory judgment statutes, statutory cases. And you do not have to wait for the injury. You do not have to wait for them to sink the knife in you before you ask for an injunction and declaratory judgment that they shouldn't sink a knife into you. If it is imminent, that's a decision that the judge makes, not the legislature. And anybody fairly looking at this, and I'm fairly looking at this, anybody fairly looking at this will say it's imminent. How many times do you have to read it in the paper, listen to it on the radio, watch it on TV? Listen to one of these people shoot his mouth off. They are doing it because they are gerrymandered and they want to stay gerrymandered, and they are doing a fake process. And in America, you don't do a fake process. In Moscow, you do a fake process. In America, you do not do a fake process. Go to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're
the Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human effect climate change is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, though.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Here the overnight patchy fog and partly cloudy skies, 43 degrees early Wednesday morning with light northeast winds. After the fog and the cloud cover, we'll see sunshine, 66. Thursday, patchy fog, then sunny and up to 78. It's 53 at our studios.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, let me shift to a different court. An astounding revelation has just come out. Remember back in 2010, Citizens United was issued that basically said that anybody could give as much money as they wanted in secret. It could be corporations, it could be anybody. And I'm overstating it a little bit, but not a lot. Corporations give money. People can give money, not say who's giving it to them, pumping it into the Republican Party. 2010, 5-4 decision. Clarence Thomas cast the deciding vote. 2010. It just came out that his wife, Ginny Thomas, 2 months before that decision came out, laid the groundwork for a nonprofit along with Leonard Leo, who's now the Federalist Society guy, with $500,000 seed money from Harlan Crow, who's given a lot of money to Clarence Thomas and his wife over the years. There's a start of a billion-dollar network that moved money into conservative caucuses and took advantage of Citizens United. But wait. I just said Citizens United didn't come out till 2 months later. How did they know to set something up? How did Harlan Crow know that, well, what the hell? I'm going to put in $500,000 to take advantage of a decision that hadn't come out. Supreme Court decisions are supposed to be confidential. The point was that Clarence Thomas, obviously, told his wife, and perhaps told Harlan Crow and Leonard Leo himself, or had her tell him, hey, there's a really terrific decision coming out in 2 months. We can do a lot of this stuff that's presently illegal. Let's get it started. Citizens United is an illegitimate decision. Citizens United is a corrupt decision. Clarence Thomas and his wife have been taking a lot of money, not a little money, a lot of money, from Harlan Crow and other billionaires now for a long, long time. A long, long time. And everything, every social objective, and every, and frankly, taxation and any other kind of objective that this right-wing group a billionaire donors wants, this guy, Clarence Thomas, has voted for. He voted in Shelby County to gut the Voting Rights Act, which is why we have gerrymandering in a lot of places in the South, why we have laws in Texas, laws in Florida, laws elsewhere, criminalizing voting for good faith mistakes. Stupid laws, like in Texas, where if you quote block the view of the voter from one of the thugs that they now permit to be in there as election observers, that is a crime. If a woman's 8 months pregnant and standing in line to vote for 5 hours in the sun in Georgia, and you hand her a bottle of water because she's faint, that's a criminal offense. So he did Shelby County. He did Citizens United, 5-4. These are all 5-4. He's the guy, swing guy. He did Dobbs. Getting rid of Roe v. Wade was 5-4. He did Dobbs. What do you do when you have a corrupt justice, at least one corrupt justice? Several of them have taken money. He's not the only one up there, and his wife's taken money. What do you do if you have a corrupt justice who is relying on the sterling reputation of a Supreme Court that's 200 years old to get everybody to obey him when the fix is in? The game was rigged. The umps were bribed. How does that change? He's been in 30 years and he's only in his early 70s. He'll be in 20 more years. This is what's happening. And then you take a look at Dobbs, and the inside word was that Kavanaugh was starting to listen to Rogers and say, okay, I'll uphold the 15-week ban in Mississippi, but I won't get rid of Roe v. Wade. But he'd already signed on to it in the draft, and suddenly it got leaked. Alito, before that, had leaked the Hobby Lobby case, Hobby Lobby preliminary decision, to a right-wing donor of the Republican Party. That's not disputed. They did it to squeeze Kavanaugh so he couldn't change his mind. We have a corrupt Supreme Court. We have six tarantulas. But we don't want to lose the reputation of the Supreme Court, which is built over 200 years, because we do need a Supreme Court to decide difficult things in the future. That's the challenge that's facing us. Go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Wisco Paul.
Thanks for your show today, Matt. As always, very informative. These rulings by Clarence Thomas have actually changed history in elections. That's a pretty serious deal, in my opinion. Is that correct? It probably has effect for conservatives winning power with these rulings. Thanks for taking my call.
There's no question. And if you take a look at all of these cases and the composition, there's one thing that people will say, if you want to really dig down and look at all the details. There are wealthy Democrats. And so what's happened is you have a flood of dark money coming into both parties. And the fact of the matter is that has corrupted our country's politics badly. Yes, it has given an edge to the Republicans, because in the aggregate, they have an enormous amount of money, but there are Democratic billionaires. The problem is when they make early selections, whoever they select in a primary, that's the ballgame. And who appointed them to be God? Who appointed them to decide what's best? That's why you want democracy. You want millions of little decisions made by average people. That's what produces the best leaders. I mean, Abraham Lincoln never would have gotten nominated even in this kind of a situation. So you're absolutely right. It was very corrupt, and this is what happened. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show, as always. Some great callers. But the Janet Protasiewicz impeachment is top of the importance in this list, and I really want to see Evers call Baldwin and Godlewski stand together in a press conference and say that this is a corrupt impeachment, and we're not going to stand for it. Matt Flynn Direct, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Great show, Matt.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
The Vec.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five
like a
minutes.
Week. Everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.